Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is with me, always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. They're hiding in a cave. Their lives are not worth a drop of water if anyone finds them, especially if King Saul finds them. David and his men have been hiding because Saul is out to kill him. Saul has already been rejected by God as being king. David has already been anointed as king, but it's not yet God's time for David to take the throne. And so after Saul's last attack at David, twice he's thrown a spear at him, trying to kill him, they're hiding. And now's your opportunity, whisper David's men. They'd seen what David had been through. They'd been on the run with him. Some of them wanted to take matters into their own hands and dreamed of killing the king themselves. David has run from Saul for a long time. Sometimes he's a trusted advisor, a welcome singer, a healer of broken spirits. And other times Saul was wickedly jealous of David. And he finds himself in that frustrating position that so many of us, all of us, I would guess, from time to time find ourselves. Life is frustrating when it's unfair. Have you had moments when you whispered under your breath, why'd you let this happen, God? Or, it wasn't supposed to be this way. You're not alone. We've all had times when we've said, it isn't fair, only to have someone reply, life isn't always fair. I love Peanuts, Charles Schulz's great cartoon that's still carried even after his death. And one of my favorite Peanuts, Charlie Brown says, yes, but why isn't life ever unfair in my direction? Well, David could have said that, he could have echoed that, because he experienced hardship when he obeyed God, because it would have been easier at times to have just gone with the quid pro quo. You did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. And one of those times was when Saul had to do, well, what humans all have to do. And there was no porta potty present, so he goes into a cave to take care of business. And it's a cave where David and his men are hiding. And somebody whispers to David, now's the opportunity. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power. Do as you wish. And I think of a preacher friend of mine in Augusta, Somebody came to him one day and said, God has a message for you. He gave it to me, and here's the message. And the pastor listened to the message and nodded politely and said, well, when God speaks to me that message, I'll do it. And David answers kind of in the same way. They say, God's telling, go ahead and kill him. David says, I can't take my hand against the king, the Lord's anointed. But he sneaks up behind him and cuts a piece of cloth off the hem of the king's garment. And when the king leaves the cave, David comes out and says, Your Majesty, why are you trying to kill me? Why are you after me? What have I done? And he says, waving the piece of cloth, I could have taken your life a few minutes ago, but I will not touch the Lord's anointed. And Saul begins to weep at that moment, and he and David are reunited for a time. David realizes that God has put his security not in David's hands, but in God's hands. And as you reflect on the seasons of your life when things haven't gone exactly as you planned, or if you're wrestling with lingering unfairness, this psalm gives us a chance to peek into David's life. It's a psalm for the faithful. It's a psalm for the struggling. On why David was committed to God when so many times he might have wondered if God cared. And this psalm also teaches us and gives us ways to look to our Lord for protection. And with that introduction, let's look at how David dealt with hard places and how we can, with Jesus as our strength, be overcomers. You have the outline there if you're a note taker. David believed in God's power, first of all, to preserve and protect him. In verse 4, he said, Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. And other translations give that, preserve me, keep me, save me, guard me. And it's as, even though it's a phrase that's used as bodyguards would take care of the king, or in our society of the monarch or the president to surround them, or in David's day of shepherds protecting the flock. And in the book of Job, chapter 7, there's one of the great names of God revealed. Chapter 7, verse 20, the preserver of men. And this is promised to us through our Lord Jesus. Isaiah said, You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That's Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. And on those times, when the rocks, the soil, the path, literally or figuratively, begin to shift, Isaiah says, The Lord is our rock, safe and unmovable. And David calls out to God in this psalm. And the word that he uses for God is just two letters in English, L, E-L. And it means the Mighty One. It's the word that you read in Matthew 27, 46, where Jesus cries out from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, Matthew says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Omnipotent One, the Strong One, the Mighty One. And we can turn there too in times of peril with the confidence that He who has heard the strong tears and crying of our Savior is able to bless and protect and keep us. And David continues, For in you do I put my trust. Another translation says, I have taken shelter in you. And I think we all can remember, either from experience or from just life as we were coming up, there'd be a storm and all the chicks would run to the hen and gather under her. That's what David is saying, as the chicks would gather under the mother hen. Running for trust, running for safety. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of years gone by, said, "Faith never returns empty. It overcomes heaven when held in the hand of prayer." And when we're buffeted by storms, we need to cry to the Lord and say, as this psalm in Psalm 56, "In you do I put my trust." And that leads us to point number two. David trusted in God's goodness. In verse 2, he said, "I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you." Now, it's a good thing to say that with the mouth. It's a better thing to say it with the heart. Especially in times of distress and trouble. To declare it to each other is one thing, but to take it to God in prayer is something far greater. And here in Psalm 16, David says, "Every good thing I have comes from you." And in Psalm 103, he says, "He fills my life with good things." An overall declaration of how God has shown up in his life. Now, I looked up that word for good. I don't read Hebrew or Greek. I look it up. And I looked it up in one of my reference books to see what that word was, what it meant. And the Hebrew word transliterated into English is T-O-W-B. It's pronounced Tobe. And it means not only good, but beautiful. And it's the word that Genesis 1 uses as God is creating. And he looks at it and he said, "It was good. It's good." Or, "It's beautiful. It's well-pleasing." And David reflects on his remarkable life. And he sees the fingerprints of God's goodness throughout his life. I remember back when Bonnie and I were in Macedonia, there was a couple that did the children's sermon, and every Sunday morning before they began the children's sermon, either whichever one it was, the husband and the wife was doing it, they would start with the kids and say, "God is good." And they taught us to reply, "All the time." And then they would say to the kids and to us, "All the time." And we reply, "God is good." Now, I don't remember children's sermon going any farther than that, and it's a good thing to say and to believe. But God isn't good only when we're happy and only when our prayers are answered. God is the ultimate in goodness, no matter our situation or current state of mind, even if the beginning or the middle or the end of the situation we're facing feels bad. God's goodness means that He has the power to bring beauty from ashes. And if He chooses not to do so, God is still good. All the time. Now, third, we learn from this psalm, David was comfortable with the riches of God's blessings. And in verse 5 he says, "Lord, You alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing." As children of our Heavenly Father, we inherit by virtue of our relationship with the Lord Jesus all the riches of grace. If you haven't done it lately, take out the book of Ephesians and start reading as Paul tells the church in Ephesus about the blessings that we inherit, the riches of grace. Now, difficulties might drain us, and they do. But the cup of blessing will never be empty. David was king with access to all the riches and earthly treasure, yet he didn't put his faith in those things. He knew that his reward was found only in the riches of God's grace. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, gives us words that we can probably repeat from memory. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break through and steal. Reading that passage this week, I was reminded of an incident. I was studying about art and collections and painters and paintings and so forth. On the 18th of March, 1990, two men dressed in police uniforms went into the Gardner Museum in Boston. It was night, it was late. They overpowered the two guards, disabled the security system, and in 81 minutes, carried out of the Gardner Museum 12 paintings that are valued today, according to some estimates, at $500 million. They've never been seen since March 18, 1990. And some say that two of the paintings, one by Vermeer called The Concert and the other by Rembrandt called Christ in the Storm on the Sea of Galilee, are those two alone worth $500 million. And Mrs. Gardner loved art and she wanted to present it to everybody to come in and look at it. And you can see the pictures. You can walk right up and get real close to it. And as you walk around the gallery, you'll find empty frames hanging on the wall where those paintings used to be. The security and the protection was thought to be sufficient. And in 81 minutes, they were gone. David doesn't find his trust in earthly security. He doesn't find his trust in earthly treasure. He knows that the real security and the real riches of life are only found in God's presence and nothing else. I read a slogan a couple of weeks ago that might be profitable to adopt. Keep your eyes on your own hula hoop. Which means, focus on what's under my control. I used to do a hula hoop. I could make it go round and round. I couldn't do anything else with it. We saw a lady on board ship on an ice rink skating on roller skates doing two dozen hula hoops at the same time. Keep your eyes on your own hula hoop. What you can see, what you can control, and what's outside of your control isn't under your control. Be comfortable, as David said, with the riches of God's blessing. Now, number four, David was assured of God's constant presence. In verse 8, he said, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. You can read it in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 26. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him. As you well know, you put him to death by nailing him to a cross, but God raised him from the dead and set him free from the pain of death because death could not hold him. And David said this about him, I keep the Lord always before me because he is close by my side. I will not be hurt, so I am glad and I rejoice. Right before David fled from Saul, the story I was telling you at the beginning, he hit a low point in his life. And in Psalm 13, verse 1, he asked, Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? Well, we read God's promises, but when our lives move in painful directions, it can cause us to wonder if God's given up on us. Maybe you're dealing with a situation that's been around so long, it's almost like a family pet. When it doesn't seem that God is answering, we can question whether He's even working in our lives. Throughout the Psalms, David is honest with God about the ups and downs of his life. And in our psalm today, he says, "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me." C.S. Lewis commented about the reality of God's presence, whether we feel it or not, whether we can see Him or not. "We may ignore," he said, "but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with Him. He walks everywhere, incognito." David understood that the faithful God of his past would remain the steadfast God of his future, so that he could face the future without wondering, "What if I can't handle this?" Or, "Why is God letting this happen?" When we stand unshakable in faith and trust, we'll still face pain, we'll still face problems, but we don't need to wonder if God is present at the moment, because He is. And that leads finally to the closing point. David had an eternal perspective. In verse 11, he said, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." It's easy to take ourselves to task for all the places where we should have done something different. And we can beat ourselves up with that, if only, if only, if only. Maybe a better idea is to invite the gift of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ into our flaws and into our failures. And as David ends this psalm, may his words bring hope and joy and peace into your life as you navigate the hard places, knowing that the Lord Jesus is by our sides. Listen to that verse 11 one more time. "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." Heaven's joys are without measure, mixture, or end. And never forget how David has taught us, Jesus is with us in all our hard places. This is a promise to His people. Amen.